Blog Talk Radio.
Hey.
MTV.
We can go right there. We can go right
there. What happened to your music?
I figured I wanted to be like the attic. We could get it right on the attic, so I didn't want to show them up.
Oh, okay. Well, go right with the intro, Sister Nurse Carmen.
Okay, well, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is a hot...
Go ahead. Okay. Don't stop.
Welcome to Block Hodge to Hodge podcast on Block Talk Radio. This is the Messenger Edition. I'm Nurse Carmen. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And now we'll have music, are we? Or a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge. Go ahead.
We're going to have a conversation.
Okay.
All right, we're going to have a conversation. You know how a lot of times, well, first of all, good evening to everyone and welcome to this edition of A Conversation. I just wanted to talk a little bit about how people like to, I don't know, because of the fact that they don't realize and know who it is that they truly are, they have a tendency to make up things to make you, for lack of a better word, feel better about the outcome of what it was that has happened. And one of the biggest myths or things that they like to say is certain things that you want that you don't get it, and you don't get it because God didn't want to give it to you because it would not have been for you. And what we have to understand is just how wrong that really is. And the reason I say that it's wrong, it's because technically God does not give you anything. I'm going to say that again. God does not give you anything. If we went on the basis that God didn't give you, don't give you certain things because it's not good for you, take a look at the world. Take a look at all the stuff that's going on. And you got to remember, everything they got it because of God. So you got to understand, first of all, that God does not decide what he's going to give you and what he's not going to give you. And once again, I say he, but God, does not give you anything. What you have to understand is every single thing, not some, but every single thing that you got, you called it forth. You called it forth. So, and you got to understand that God doesn't make a judgment about what you call for. God doesn't call a thing good or bad. And the truth be told, it would be better if we didn't as well. We have to understand that we are creative beings, made in the image and likeness of God. We may have whatever we choose, but we may not have anything you want. In fact, you never get anything you want if you want it bad enough. I'll say that one more time. We are creative beings. And we can get any, we can have whatever it is that we choose, but we may not have anything you want. Mm. And depending on how bad you want it, you may not have it. You will not have it.
Mm.
And I want to remind you, we went over this before. And what we have to understand is because thoughts are creative, and the thought of wanting a thing is a statement to the universe, a declaration of a truth, which the universe then produces in your reality. And what I mean by that is when you want, let's just say you want $1 million. So you know what the universe does when you say, I want $1 million? Anybody have any idea? Remember, what is it that the universe does when you say you want something? What it does is it gives you the feeling of wanting it.
Of wanting. Huh?
That's what you asked for. You said, I want. So what it does is it gives you what you want. You want $1 million. So it's giving you the feeling of wanting $1 million. And sometimes this is why you can't even shake it. Because it's something that you want so bad. So we got to understand how this thing works. The moment you say you want something, the universe says, indeed you do, and gives you that precise experience, the experience of wanting it. But whatever you put after the word I becomes your creative command, kind of like the genie in the bottle, in which I am exists but to obey. So what you have to understand is the way the universe is set up, because of who you are, when you say I, whatever you say after that, the universe has no choice but to give that to you. So when people are walking around saying, I speak healing, there is power in that. But the only reason why you don't see it coming forth is because they're just saying it. You have to know it. When you know who you are, you have to know it, and then you have to believe. Well, once you know it, then you believe it, but you have to get to that point. And when you say it, with that authority, with that command, I am, as the next president said, I am the next president.
Amen.
I am. And this is what it is. We get mad at God, like as if God is sitting somewhere waiting to give you something. God gives you absolutely nothing. You know, and those that don't know who they are, they would hear this and think that I'm some kind of crazy guy, thinking that God is providing everything. Excuse me. Which is true. But not in the way in which they know it to be. It really is. They call it forth. And if you can think back, you called it forth. You call forth that stuff that you call good, and you call forth that stuff that you call bad. You called it forth. It was no devil. It was no God sitting around granting your wish, per se. You are your genie in the bottle.
Wow.
So this is why it's important that you're careful at what you say. Now, people may say, well, how come it takes so long? I'll tell you this, for a number of reasons. Number one reason is because you do not believe you can have what you choose. Because you do not know what to choose. Because you keep trying to figure out what's best for you. Because you want guarantees ahead of time that all your choices will be good. And because, as we've said so many times, you keep changing your mind. And so one of the things we've got to start realizing is we've got to stop really thinking what's best for me. Because best is just a relative term, depending on 100 variables. that make choices very difficult. There should be only one consideration when making any decision. Is this a statement of who I am? Is this an announcement of who I choose to be? Then if you use those, just those two things, you will see a difference in your choice. I mean, you will see a difference in the things that come to you. Now, if you choose to be a crook, then stealing something is going to be all right for you. If you choose not to, then you know when you ask yourself, is this me showing the world the best that I can be? Then doesn't that kind of make that choice a little bit easier? In fact,
Amen.
All of our lives should be such an announcement. In fact, all of life is. You can allow that announcement to be made by chance or by choice. By chance or by choice. You can claim it, or you can just wait for you to stumble into it. Because what we have to understand is the things that we call forth, we don't understand that there's sometimes that we call stuff forth, and before we can finish calling it forth, we done forgot what it is we called forth.
So yes, we do.
You know what I mean? So what we've done is we've kind of started something, but we didn't complete it. You remember the story, I don't know if you guys remember the story in the Bible where I forgot the name of the guy, but he wrestled with somebody all night long, and he said, I'm going to stay here till you bless me.
Vaguely.
I'm sorry, I can't give you the particular names and stuff, but somebody wrestled with an angel or something all night long. He said, I ain't going nowhere till you bless me. And this is, once again, part of a story that's a story, but if you look at it from a spiritual sense, it has great meaning. Just so you know, a life lived by choices is a life of conscious actions. A life lived by chance is a life of unconscious reactions. Reactions is just that, an action you have taken before when you reenact. What you do is assess the incoming data, search your memory banks for the same or nearly the same experience, and act the way you did before. This is all of the work of the mind, not your soul. Your soul would have you search its memory to see how you might create a truly genuine experience of you in the now moment if you listen to your soul. Because the soul is going to allow you, is going to give you the guidance and the instructions for you to be, make a statement of who you really are. And yesterday when we were on the other podcast, when I mentioned about the laws and stuff like that, we have a universal law within us where we know that we are all one. And when we come to know this, do we need man-made laws to guide us when we've got God to guide us? But we've got to be able to see this thing not how it is here on earth, because it is more to life than what is here on earth. So you got to understand, your soul is so vital to your well-being. The soul is trying to give you a genuine experience of you in the now moment, give you an experience of you being God. This is the experience of soul searching, which you have so often heard, but you have to be literally out of your mind to do it. When you spend your time trying to figure out what's best for you, you are doing just that, spending your time. Mm-hmm. It's better to save your time than to spend it wastefully. It's a great time saver to be out of your mind. Decisions are reached quickly. Choices are activated rapidly because your soul creates out of present experience only, without review, analysis, and criticisms of past encounters. This is what the soul does. The soul can do it because the soul knows. The soul knows that no matter what you do, who you are. Now, I'm not saying this for somebody to go walk off a building or anything, but if something within you is telling you you can do it, and please remember what we talked about, the soul and the mind. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be in tune with the soul. But if it tells you can do it, you can do it. And I'll give you a good example. We've all heard the story about the mother that lifted up a car to pull her baby from underneath it.
Yes.
That seems totally impossible for somebody to do, right?
Right.
But there's been recordings of this happening. There is nothing that you can't do. Part of our problem is we're more concerned about the other person than we are about ourselves.
Mm.
We're more concerned about how somebody gonna see me than you being the most glorious you can be. And now I know, bear with me, because sometimes I go here and y'all kind of freak out on me. But let me tell you something. Wouldn't it be better? I know for a lot of people it would, but wouldn't it be better if we all just took off our clothes and was able to run around town or wherever, just butt naked per se? And then I'm going out on a limb here, y'all. But yeah, I want you to see where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Again, yes, it's important that we stay out on that limb because we're so used to being in that safe place.
Right.
And if we stop and look at the safe place, look where it has gotten us. So
I'm going to need some time to work out first.
Huh? Well, once again.
You don't have that kind of time.
What I'm saying, though, once again, without the concerns of other people.
Right.
I don't care what you think about my body. This is my body. This is what I'm presenting to the world to be the very best. But what the co-producer said is what automatically goes through everybody's mind in some degree or another. But once, see how quickly the first thing we did is start thinking about what other people would think? So you don't want to be you so you can be what somebody else wants you to be. And this is the mentality that we have, and this is what we have to work to get away from. As I said earlier, we've got to almost get to the point where we're out of our minds. Because it is the mind that keeps having us. Actually, the definition of stupidity is what?
Insanity.
Doing the same thing and expecting different results. And that's what the mind does. Because whenever you got a decision to make, the first thing the mind is going to do is run over this scenario. Let me see. Back in 67, this came up. What did we do? And so what we do is we do the exact same thing that we did in 67. And then after we did it, then I remember I did that before, and that's what happened.
Right.
Because we're allowing the mind with the limited data to determine who we are instead of listening to who we really are from ourselves. And all you have to do, as they say, is have a made-up mind that I am going to listen to the soul. and not the mind. Now, trust me, the soul will guide you when you can listen to the mind and when you can listen to, because what happens is the more you start to listen to the soul, what happens is as you're listening to the soul, you are now feeding the mind new data. But if you don't listen to the soul, the mind is going off of the same data. Who here wants Windows 95? Oh, got quiet. So nobody wants Windows 95. Why do you don't want Windows 95?
Outdated.
It's old.
Because it's not the best.
Okay. So I hate to throw this in like that, but so this is pretty much the same with religion, too. It is outdated. It was good to bring you to a certain, when I was a baby, I ate as a baby. Then when I became a man, I as a man, something like that it says in there. But this is what we have to understand. Because we realize now, because we realize now that we are woke, we got to start walking around here like we blind.
Amen, brother.
What's that, brother? I just think
that's funny because all the time you spent in that in that book, why you act like you can't remember nothing now, man? you cleaned it all out?
Well, no, I didn't clean it all out. See, from the mind, there's still particles there that's there because, as
okay.
I've said so many times, it's some good stuff in there. But what you've got to do is you've got to look at it from a different perspective than the perspective in which you've been taught to look at it. Look at
right.
it from the
okay.
perspective of the soul
yeah.
and what that same story about the oh, here I go. You got me. wow. Oh. Wow.
Come on with the story. I got your back. Go ahead with the story. I got your back. I'll fill it in.
The Hebrew boys. The Hebrew
boys
in the fiery den.
Daniel.
Meshach.
No.
Shadrach.
Meshach
and
Abednego. And
Abednego. Okay.
Yeah,
the three brothers that was in the fire. All right. Now, physically, the story that they're telling you is crazy. You think about that. The story that they tell, they in a fiery pit, and they sitting down there chilling, and Jesus comes and sits with them, and then when the fire go out, they get up and walk away. That's not so, people, because you put this body, they got the same body that we have. You put this in some fire, and it is going to burn. But if you take it now from a spiritual sense and realize that no matter what, I am one with God, then you can see that third person, that fourth person. And you got to remember, these are stories. That's what they are.
Right.
So in that story, if they put them in the furnace, a more realistic understanding would be, because you are one with God, that it doesn't matter what happens to your outer shell, because your inner shell will still be one with God. Instead of I put you in that fire, and because God protected you, you got no hurt or harm. If you know, now that you think about the story. The story would have been so much better since we're writing stories, if the story
right.
was like, you know, because I'm one with God, it doesn't matter what happens to my outside body. It's the because this only protects the spirit that's housed inside of it.
Okay. That's so true, because if you think, remember now, Jesus was dead. So when he showed up, his body wasn't burning. Some nails and stuff got to him. Jesus the Christ,
okay.
the Son of God, nails killed him, but you put three boys in a fiery pit and nothing happened to them.
Mm.
With the storytelling, isn't it? It's something wrong with it because of the way that we're looking at it. Because of the way that they've taught us, instead of once again, and this is why I say to those that don't want to give up the Bible, you don't have to, but allow your spirit to speak to you. Allow your spirit to reveal what it is that the writer was really trying to say. But once again, we rely on somebody getting up there telling us a story, and because they say it's in the Bible, we already say it's true.
Well, that's part of the whole religion. You have to believe everything that's in that book. You can't question anything. You just have to believe it.
Yeah. So that lets you know right then and there. You can't even talk to yourself about it.
Yeah.
Just believe it.
Yeah.
Just believe it.
Just know that the soul's
purpose is to seek the perfect circumstances and situations now needed to heal wrong through and brought you the right experience of who you really are. It is the soul's desire to bring you back to God. That's the soul's desire, to bring you back to God, for you to experience the best you here that you can, and to let you know that you are one with God. And you got to understand, when I say back to God, that doesn't mean immediately death from here. It means back to knowing who you are. And that is what the soul's job is, to let you know who you are. It is the soul's intention to know itself experientially. And thus, to know yourself, you know God. The soul understands that you and God are one. Even as the mind denies this truth and the body acts out this denial, there is moments of great decision. Be out of your mind and do some soul searching instead. When you've got to make an important decision, think, as they would say, think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, think outside the box. Normally, I would do this. But before I do this, let me stop and really have a conversation with God. And as we've proven through so many times, when you have a conversation with God, ain't nobody before you but you. You ain't talking to nobody but yourself. And this is one of the things that just so funny to me when we start dealing with religious folks and you mention this to them. And then you say that, okay, when God started talking to you, where did you hear him at? Do you know what I mean when I say that? What I mean by that is when you're hello, there you go. See. Just want you to know how the spirit works. See how you got that answer? There is nothing that you don't know. You just got to call it back to your remembrance. Somebody got control of me. All right.
Once again, that brings our podcast to a close. As I always hear my mom's beautiful voice. Listen, folks, the point and the reason we talk to you every Thursday and Sunday night, it's just about awakening. It's just about trying to get you to understand your true value and understand that you are as much of Christ. You are as Christ-like as Jesus Christ was. I know it's a very different concept for you to grasp, but the same spirit of the Creator that resides in Jesus Christ resides in each and every one of us also. So let's wake up and live out the true meaning
of what we're put here to do, and that is to live our life to the fullest so that the Heavenly Father or the Spirit above gets to experience life through each and every one of us. That's our show for tonight, and I look forward to speaking with you on Sunday night at 9 o'clock as we continue conversations with the messenger. So
amen.
Good night, everyone, and I'll see you Thursday. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.